Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. I'll be sharing with you today from the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, beginning with what is listed as being the first chapter. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, then said, God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now again, beginning at the beginning of what is listed as being the first chapter in the book of Hosea, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. It might seem just a trifle strange, so many kings of Judah, of the kingdom of Judah, listed Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and only one for the kingdom of Israel, that being Jeroboam, the son of Joash. But the periods of time which these kings ruled and reigned varied greatly. For instance, the king Solomon, he began to reign at age 18. If I'm not mistaken, he died at age 59. Then there was the king Josiah, who was as good, as great, as godly a king as Israel, meaning, in this case, the kingdom of Judah, ever had. He began to reign at age 8, but until he grew to manhood at a very young age, still tender age of 18, the high priest effectively ruled, which was, after all, God's plan from the beginning. He never planned on monarchies. monarchies ruled the heathens and the pagans. But his people, his chosen people, the children of Israel, chose to imitate and emulate and copy the ways of the heathens and pagan peoples in their governing and also in their worship. But here we have these kings. And I failed to mention about Josiah. He died, I believe, at age 39. For some reason, 37 rattles around in my mind, but quite sure 39. And that was a premature death. You will hear from this pastor and that pastor and the other pastor that these people that pass away at very early ages, that, well, that was God's plan. It was not God's plan for him to pass away at that age, but it's what happened. And he did not pass away. He was slain by the Pharaoh of Egypt. But here we have the kingdoms of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. These two kingdoms, which had been one. Here we have the word of God to Hosea. Another one of his prophets, his true prophets, who did not have the lineage of a religious leader of Israel, whether in the kingdom of Judah or the kingdom of Israel, but one whom God chose, whom God selected, and who was true to God. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. What a curious beginning of a ministry. Here he is chosen by God to prophesy to his people. And the very first assignment from God is to take a wife. But the wording, the description given here is of a wife whom would not be deemed worthy to be the wife of a priest, and yet is specified to be the wife of a faithful, true, courageous, valiant, honorable, God-fearing prophet. It just, it does not seem like what would have been God's will. But it doesn't compute. But nonetheless, it is God's word. And God's ways are not man's ways. Even when God's word contradicts God's word. How much of this description of this woman is figurative instead of literal, I do not know. But God is being absolutely, utterly, totally, completely literal when he refers to his people, whom he refers to as the land. The land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. No, it wasn't the earth. It wasn't the dirt. It wasn't the flora and fauna. It was the people of God, the people of Judah and Israel. These two kingdoms that were comprised of the people of the house of Israel, of the tribes of Israel, they had departed from God. They had chosen to take false gods to worship, to sacrifice their children, their babies to them, committing infanticide, slaughtering the firstborn children. worshiping devils and demons that were the gods of the heathen and pagan peoples who surrounded them, whom God had delivered them from. Only now, God is going to deliver them into the hands of these neighboring peoples, whom they have emulated and imitated. And they shall feel the fury and the wrath and the rage of God through these peoples, whom they are following instead of following God. So he, Hosea, went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. There are names and there are names, but Gomer is not exactly one of my favorite women's names. Is she? Is that one of your favorites? I recommend don't name your daughter Gomer. She's the daughter of Diblaim. And this woman, Hosea, is following the word of God to take this woman to wife. He's obeying God. He's not rebelling. There were multitudinous children of Israel who rebelled against God by marrying those of the strangers, of the strange peoples, of the heathens, of the pagans. Positively and most damnably, including King Solomon, whom took himself bare minimum of 1,000+ women, but including the daughter of Pharaoh and what have you. And he ended up erecting idols to every one of the demon gods, demigods, that these strange wives and concubines worshiped. Outrageous, monstrous, but true, and worshiped them. It might have had something to do with his passing away at age 59. Such was not the case with Josiah. But the Lord said unto Hosea concerning the daughter Gomer, whom he had taken to wife, the daughter of Diblaim, who conceived and bare him a son. The Lord said unto Hosea, call his name Jezreel. Call this baby boy's name Jezreel, for yet a little while and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. Certainly makes it sound as if this baby is going to die, not necessarily in infancy, but is not going to live a long life. I will avenge the blood of Jezreel. He's not going to die a natural death, so-called. He's going to die a violent death. Not exactly the kinds of words that a father, that a mother want to hear concerning any of their children, their firstborn son, or any of their children. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Not the house of Judah, the house of Israel. God declares he shall cause it to cease. And it's going to be a little while. Now, with the Lord, we know that a day can be as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. But this does not seem to be speaking of such a time, to put it mildly. No, this is a time near to come, comparatively. Not 1,000 years away, not 100 years away, not 50 years hence. He will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. He shall put an end to the largest part of the house of Israel, being the kingdom of Israel, the divided kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of Israel, comprised of 10 of the 12 tribes. He shall cause it to cease and desist, if you will. He shall bring it to an end. The kingdom shall cease. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. It's so common in Christendom for people to say things in various churches, we're the apple of God's eye, and other such sentiments. Well, the false prophets, the false religious leaders, the bad priests, and so forth, the unrighteous, ungodly, wicked religious leaders routinely would say these things. Nothing bad can come to us. We are the apple of God's eye. Those judgments you're talking about, those are far in the future, and they just keep pushing them out, pushing them further and further and further into the future indefinitely. The unrighteous, ungodly, wicked ones who led the people into worship of demons and devils, they would insist no judgment was coming from God. And here, God Almighty is going to send people to go to war against his people. And he shall break the power of his people violently. And she being Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, she being the wife of Hosea the prophet, she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, unto Hosea, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. I will no more have mercy. They've been rebelling and rebelling and rebelling against me. And I have allowed them to survive various attacks and what have you, which I have caused to come about as ways of chastening them and bringing them back to me. But they have refused and rebelled against me. I will no more have mercy upon them, but I will utterly take them away. But what about all of those who will not be taken away? They will not be taken away because they will be dead. Great multitudes of them will be dead, not just soldiers, but wives and children and what have you. But those who survive will all go into captivity. This is interesting. This is different from what we find, for instance, in the kingdom of Judah, when the king of Babylon, the king of the Babylonian Chaldaic Empire, invades and overthrows the kingdom of Judah and takes some into captivity and leaves others, and even will set up a new king from the same royal family yet. And there are a few episodes of that before the final instance, which the children of Israel, of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, are taken into captivity, but some are still left behind, the poorest of the poor. And then they force the prophet Jeremiah and his scribe Baruch to go with them. They take them along with them down into Egypt. This, however, is a different time. I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. This immediately following him saying, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Very next breath, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Why? Why? What about these kings whom he named? Uzziah, who seemingly started out well, but did not finish well and wound up being a leper from head to toe and living in a separate house, and his son took over for him prior to his death. Jotham, Ahaz, utterly wicked, Hezekiah, one of the best of the kings of Judah. Not the best, but one of the best. Not as outstanding as Josiah, but one of the best. And the Lord God says he will have mercy upon the house of Judah. But following the death of Hezekiah, we have the king Manasseh, who was as horrible a king as there ever was in Israel or anywhere else. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. Very strange wording here. God Almighty stating this to Hosea by his angel or by the Holy Ghost, probably by an angel, and the wording, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. He doesn't say by myself, but he names himself by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Here in the United States of America and in other nations, allies, United Kingdom, Europe, Israel, it is common for we people, we various peoples, to trust in our technological might, our highly technologically advanced militaries and weapons systems and what have you. Here, the people of Judah, as the people of the kingdom of Israel, they trusted in their might, in their strength, in their power, their military might, which was epitomized by the horses and the chariots that they bought and they brought from Egypt. But God Almighty here says that he will not save them by bow, by battle bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. So not by bow, not by sword, not by horses, with cavalry, with horsemen, nor by battle itself, but he will save them. But not by fleshly means, not by the flesh of the arm. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So, we've gone full circle seemingly here. Great shall be the day of Jezreel. Well, the day of Jezreel, previously referred to, was when the blood of Jezreel would be avenged upon the house of Jehu, and the kingdom of the house of Israel would cease. Now, in time to come, thereafter, this kingdom of Israel, which has ceased, God shall bring it again, shall restore it, and shall restore these kingdoms, put them back together. There are some who might say, who will say, who no doubt have said, that this has taken place already in the modern state of Israel. Certainly not back in Israel of old, but in the modern state of Israel, that effectively this has happened, that you just have a nation comprised of Jews and Arabs, Muslim Arabs, mostly, as well as Christian Arabs, and smattering of other peoples. But that the Jews are representative of all of the tribes of Israel. Perchance, you could think that is what's being referred to here. But this is going to be done, this is going to be accomplished in the millennial reign of Christ. It says here that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. I guarantee you that has not happened. Israel is a secular humanist nation to this day. Its leaders have overwhelmingly been atheist, overwhelmingly been far-left socialists to the point of communists, such as David Ben-Gurion in Golda Meir and all the way up to now. Some of them have been great military heroes, but try to find a person of God there. Try to find one who worships God, who worships, obeys, honors God. Try to find one. I don't know, maybe you say, well, Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been married umpty-ump times, and so on and so forth. Try to find a God-fearing, God-honoring, God-worshipping, God-serving one. Even if not Christian, one that's, you know, that is a religious Jew. Try to find one. Lots of luck for you there. It's going to be a fruitless search. You will not find one. But again, there have been courageous, outstanding military leaders, just not people of God, that's all. Great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now, beginning with what is listed as being chapter 2, the second chapter of the book of Hosea. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst, and I will not have mercy upon her children. For they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived them. She that hath conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me bread, and my water, my wool, and my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers hath given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. So now, beginning with what is listed as the second chapter, it is speaking again of the same things that have been spoken of in what is listed as the first chapter. Noting that from the end of this passage, it is akin to the end of the last passage, that last portion of the first chapter passage. But it begins, Say ye unto your brethren, Am I? Lo am I has been abbreviated to Am I. And to your sisters, Ruhamah. Ruhamah is the abbreviation or contraction of Lo Ruhamah. And you find this as you go through God's word, you find this particular, call it what you will, convention or whatever, where names have longer versions and shorter versions. Indeed, we have such conventions. There are people who use nicknames all of their lives, right? So you will find people who call themselves Brad, and you cannot find Brad in their actual, factual, given name. There's no Brad in it, not first or middle name, or if they have two middle names or whatever, nor their last name. Nor is there a Bradford or a Bradley or a Bradson or a Braddock or any of the other, or a Brady or anything else. But they like the sound of it, and they take it as a nickname. But more often than not, even though that kind of thing happens, more often than not, most people that you would meet that have the name Brad, or, and this applies for all other names, normally they either have that name, that monosyllabic name, Brad, or they have a version of it, Braddock, Bradley, Bradford, Bradson, something else like that. I don't know what the other ones are. I'm sure there are a few other combinations. Or Brady, and they choose to make it Brad. That sounds better to them than Braid would sound. But anyway, here we have Am I and Ruhamah. Lo am I and Lo Ruhamah. Say unto them, say ye unto your brethren and your sisters. Well, who is this speaking to? It's not really, it wouldn't seem to be Hosea, because these are not his brethren per se. These are his children. Yes, they could be thought of as brethren, but normally, again, you make a distinction and you'd think of them being children. You don't think of the parents referring to their children as brethren, but, and sisters. So it seemingly would be Jezreel, not Hosea. This is seemingly referring to Jezreel, the firstborn son. Say ye unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife. Now this communication is directly from God, and it is through Hosea, but again, it is seemingly from God the Father and God the Son to an angel, to Hosea, who is seemingly now sharing it with Jezreel. But in any case, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Is it really referring to Gomer? Certainly that's possible. It's possible that God is using her as an example, a bad example. Yes, that certainly is possible. But it's not necessarily the case. It is absolutely, positively referring to the children of Israel and the children of Judah, but in particular, the children of Israel that are within the kingdom of Israel. But actually, factually pertains to all of the children of Israel of both kingdoms. Generally to all, specifically to those in the kingdom of Israel. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now, there are some who would want to state that that is strictly figurative language. It is referring only to spiritual whoredom, but it's not. It is referring to spiritual whoredom. It is. But not exclusively. The children of Israel, the house of Israel, the two kingdoms of Israel, again, chose to worship false gods, demons, devils. And their worship of them consisted of all manner of evils, from infanticide, slaughtering their children, their firstborn children, and their children, committing fornication, committing adultery, and tolerating and rewarding the sodomites by allowing them to set up living quarters at the temple of God, but building, erecting idols to these false gods, these demigods, these demons and devils, taking strange peoples, heathens and pagans, for wives for their sons and giving their daughters to them, selling their daughters into prostitution. All manner of evils, as well as viciously, murderously, torturously persecuting the true prophets of God and true priests of God. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. Well, the description previously given concerning Hosea and his wife Gomer does not speak of whoredoms, children of whoredoms. No. So this, here we, again, very clearly not referring to that pertaining to Gomer. These children were begotten by Hosea. They were conceived by Gomer of Hosea. But here it says, I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For there was great whoredom in the land of every kind. Yes, monetary, financial whoredom, whoredom of trade with heathen pagan peoples, but there was literal whoredom, sexual whoredom, and it often was right within the worship celebration of these demon gods that they engaged in such. Just as when Moses was up in the mount and his brother Aaron left behind to rule the people along with the sister Miriam, what took place? The leaders of the people came to Aaron and commanded him to create an idol for the people to worship, because we know not as what has happened to Moses. So make an idol to lead us, you know, to Egypt, back to Egypt. And he created the golden calf. And lo and behold, the people stripped themselves naked and committed adultery and whoredom as they played and danced, played music and danced around and worshiped the golden calf. Standard operating procedure in worshiping these false gods. And interestingly enough, in the New Testament, when you have people possessed by demons or attacked by demons, it is standard operating procedure for them to be stripped naked. But that's the way demons work. It's one of their hallmarks. One of their defining characteristics. I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. Now, I've managed to trip over that both times through, so apologies, but their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. She's playing the harlot by worshiping false gods, and she is attributing those false gods as being the ones that have given her all of these things. She is not Gomer. She is Israel. The people of Israel, they are going and worshiping these demons, these devils, these false gods of the heathens and pagans, and saying that they are responsible for all of the good things that God has given them. Not to mention committing infanticide, slaughtering the children to these false gods, to worship these false gods, for all of the great things that these false gods, these devils have done for them. Would you say there's reason, would you say there's cause for God to be displeased with his chosen people? Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. My first husband. Again, this is not, even though it uses their names, not referring despite what many of our pastors and ministers and theologians say, not referring to Gomer and Hosea, referring to Israel, the people of Israel, and their first God, God Almighty, the only true God, God Almighty, and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But she, Israel, shall follow after her lovers. Who are her lovers? Her lovers are these heathen, pagan, devil-worshipping peoples. She shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we have Jesus Christ referring to our need to seek God. Seek me and ye shall find me. It is a commandment from God. But here she is seeking these heathen pagan peoples who have taught her to worship these devils. Even as the serpent in the Garden of Eden taught Adam and Eve to rebel against God. She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. God Almighty provided all of that, and yet the people of Israel prepared offerings of all of these things to worship Baal and slaughtered their children to Baal and Molech and Chemosh. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, in the time of harvest, and my wine in the season thereof, in the season of harvest, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. Israel made itself lewd and profane by going after, by seeking business with, marriages with, commerce with, and worship with these heathen, pagan peoples surrounding them who worshiped devils. And so do we, people, in this nation of the United States of America and the peoples of the developed nations, the Western nations, former Christendom around the world, so do they do to this day. Special privileges in this nation only accrue to those who worship gods other than God Almighty and his Holy Son, Jesus Christ. But the Lord God Almighty, he said that he would cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all of her solemn feasts. And in the Christian churches across this land, the Protestant Christian churches across this land, whether they be denominational or non-denominational or interdenominational or what have you, you will hear things to the effect that we are to be happy, happy, happy. We are not to be glum and gloomy and such. We are supposed to be the happiest people there are and giddy and jubilant, actually giddy in our celebration of God and what have you. And here God Almighty says, concerning Israel, I will cause her mirth to cease. He will cause her giddiness her jovialness, her jubilation, her party hearty spirit to cease. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers, the heathen and the pagans, the devil worshippers, hath given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them, as God says elsewhere here in the Old Testament, that he will make a garden, a wilderness, and the wilderness a garden. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them, to the false gods, the demons, the devils. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, the heathens and pagans, the devil worshippers, and forsook me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. There is a break between these, all right? It doesn't make any sense for it to flow directly from one into the other. No. On the one hand, God Almighty is punishing Israel, is afflicting Israel, is going to utterly overthrow the kingdom of Israel and take all of the children of Israel within the kingdom of Israel into captivity, into surrounding nations of Syria and Assyria and all of the other surrounding peoples. But now, an extreme change takes place. This is after the kingdom of Israel has been overthrown and has laid waste and has been occupied by the heathen pagan peoples while the children of Israel have been in captivity in other nations. The Lord God Almighty says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence. God is going to restore the captivity, as he describes it. He will turn the captivity. He will bring the captives home. He will restore to them vineyards. He will change this parched wilderness into a garden, a flourishing, thriving garden. And he will give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Even as the children of Israel, when they were brought up out of the land of Egypt the first time, they sang, they rejoiced. That was before they started murmuring and talking about executing Moses and so forth. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For they had been calling a god they were worshiping, a false god, a demigod, a devil god, Baali, and Baal, and Baalman, and so forth. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. He will give them safety. Guess what? That is not the case in Israel today. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. This is a battle cry, a clarion call throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. Was for the people of God, specifically the rulers of the people of God, to execute righteous judgment and justice and exercise mercy and loving kindness. They were to go hand in hand. The mercy and loving kindness was to be for the merciful, the needy. The righteous judgment and justice was to be for the wicked, the evil, the destroyers. But they did not do what God commanded over and over and over and over again, and which the overwhelming majority of Christian ministers and theologians and leaders say belongs essentially only in the Old Testament. Oh, they'll talk about social justice, and they have their own clever definitions for that. And they'll talk about mercy, but executing righteous judgment and justice, never. Yes, you may find it here or there, but for the overwhelming majority of Christian leaders, pastors, theologians, evangelists, never. And even what they refer to as mercy is not the mercy and loving kindness that God commanded. But I will betroth thee unto me forever, forever and ever. That has not happened. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and in mercies. That has not happened. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. That has not happened. Israel is overwhelmingly atheist and agnostic, secular humanist. Overwhelmingly. With a significant Muslim minority. A significant, large Muslim minority. And Islam worships Satan. Allah is a pseudonym for Satan, one of which he uses. And his great, great, great prophet Muhammad was as wicked, as murderous, as vicious, as ruthless, as immoral, as dishonest, as destructive as any has ever been on the face of the earth, including Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and what have you. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. So Jezreel shall be heard by the corn, the wine, and the oil, which shall be heard by the earth, which shall be heard by the heavens, which shall be heard by God. I cannot explain that to you. However, there are all manner of expert theologians that have a tight grasp on this and can absolutely explain these things, just as they shred the Word of God. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. I will sow her unto me in the earth. God will sow His Word in His people, and shall baptize them with His Holy Ghost. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. As he said in the first passage here in Hosea, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. But now, I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. I will say to them which were not my people, which refused to be his people, which forsook God, which chased after the false gods, the devil gods of all of the heathens and pagan peoples around and about them, near unto them, nigh unto them, and far from them, and worshiped them, even worshiping them by giving unto them all of the good things God had given them, including their firstborn children. But now, God speaks of this extreme, enormous, total change from judgment upon them to mercy and loving kindness in the millennial reign of Christ. This is back in the Old Testament. This is not at the end of the Old Testament. This is speaking of the times of the kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. There is significant time remaining before Jerusalem is utterly destroyed and all taken into captivity. But including those who chose to go into captivity down into Egypt instead of remaining. This is not speaking of a time past. When the Lord God Almighty refers to returning the captivity, bringing the captivity again, when he refers to having mercy upon them, sowing them in the earth, sowing his word into them, when he refers to calling them the people of God, you who refused to be the people of God, he is referring to a time which is yet to come, but which is near at hand for us. It is very near at hand. When you hear on the news or you read some article or whatever by some brilliant philosopher, philosophical type, some academician, referring to what is going to be happening come the year 2050. Or you hear from these great protesters against global climate change, or from the United Nations saying we must have this and that and the other thing, or come 2050, the earth is just going to be destroyed, or well on its way to destruction, hopelessly, and so on and so forth. That is not only false in terms of what they're talking about, but it's also false in terms of timetables, time frame. 31 years from now, we're still going to be just going along as we're going along, except again, as we've been going along, every year, every decade, more immoral, more depraved than the decade and the year before. No. The time is very near at hand. It is drawing nigh. There is precious little that has not been fulfilled of what needs to be done, according to God, before the return of the Lord. But the Lord God Almighty is not returning until, contrary to what various other experts say, is not returning until this entire world has been enslaved. Yes, those are coming attractions. This entire world will be enslaved by Satan before the return of the Lord. But it's not going to take 31 years for that to happen. Heavenly Father, Holy God, merciful God, righteous God, only God, just God. Have mercy on us, help us, guide us, direct us, lead us into all truth. Open thy word to us. Impart to us the gift of faith. Holy God, blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Come quickly, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.